Hello, this is Dr. Tom O'Brien, and today we're going to be mapping gluten on the 15-minute matrix.
Welcome to the 15-minute matrix. I'm Andrea Nakayama, functional medicine nutritionist and your host. This is the podcast that brings you bite-sized insights and lessons on how to use the most important tool in functional medicine and functional nutrition. I'm super excited to continue our conversation with Dr. Tom O'Brien about gluten. This is a two-part episode, so if you missed part one, I recommend you go back and listen to episode 28 of the podcast. Is gluten bad for everyone?
Yes, it is. For every human. So, Mrs. Patient, if you're a human, according to the scientists, yes, because it causes intestinal permeability. But the fastest growing cells in the body are the inside lining of your intestines, right? Every 3 to 5 days, depending on what study you read, you have a new lining to your intestines. So you have toast for breakfast, you tear the lining of the intestines, but it heals. Mm. A sandwich for lunch, you tear it and it heals. Pasta for dinner. Until one day, 10 years, 20 years, you can be 2 years old, 22 years old, 92 years old. One day, you develop what's called a loss of oral tolerance. When your system can no longer tolerate the insult and you can't heal from the damage any longer, when you cross that line, now you get pathogenic intestinal permeability. And when you get pathogenic intestinal permeability, now you're off to the races. The studies are just, they're so pronounced on this. Interferon gamma, IL-6, IL-17, mm-hmm. IL-8, IL-18. IL-18 is the one that leads to long-term inflammation. These are all increased with exposure to wheat. NF-kappa-B. Here's one for you. When you're exposed to wheat, S100B cells in the glial cells of the brain increase nitric oxide, which causes a breach in the blood-brain barrier. Mm. I call it B4, capital B, number 4, a breach in the blood-brain barrier. And that is from increased nitric oxide production from S100B that is inside the glial cells, from an exposure to wheat. Just read the papers.
Right.
You know, when you read the science on this, it just drops your jaw again and again and again.
Let's kind of drop down in what I call the story or central part of the functional nutrition matrix. We've been talking about immune and inflammatory balance. We talked about the GI. Obviously, you're talking about structural integrity as well. You're talking about the integrity of the GI mucosa, but also the blood-brain barrier. Anything else that gluten is damaging in terms of our structural integrity?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. The endothelium of your vascular system.
Mm,
when you read those studies, that it is a common initiator or fueler of atherosclerosis because of the endothelial dysfunction that occurs from the inflammation from gluten exposure. And by the way, it's not just gluten. That's really a misnomer. It's any of the irritant factors in poorly digested wheat, which may be gluten. It may be glutenins.
Mm-hmm.
It could be wheat amylase trypsin inhibitors. It could be gluteomorphins. It could be prodinorphins, the pyrenins, the FODMAPs. There are so many components to wheat besides gluten that could be a problem. And many of them, for example, the wheat germ agglutinins are renowned for impacting on your cardiovascular system. They're renowned for that. So that's all structural integrity. All of it is.
Right. And then we move down to the lower quadrant of the matrix. We already talked about how even if somebody isn't having those GI issues, that it is impacting their mind, their spirit, their emotions, their hormones, their neurohormones. What has your research told you about, there's so much about brain health and gluten, especially actually because of this tolerance issue and the crossing of the blood-brain barrier. But what have you seen in relation to depression and motivation and all of those issues that we see our patients encounter?
Really good question. The neurotransmitters are way out of balance, out of balance. Tryptophan deficiencies are renowned. Depression is the most common brain symptom after brain fog. Depression is the most common with wheat-related disorders. And it gets so bad that there is a threefold increase in mortality. Long-term mortality means after 5 years. There's a threefold increase in long-term mortality when you diagnose a child with celiac disease, with or without a gluten-free diet. Threefold increase.
Yeah, amazing.
Suicide.
Yeah.
Suicide.
Yeah. These and kids, with everything, we see it, we see it with ADD, ADHD, we see it across the spectrum, the quote-unquote minor mental health issues to the very major ones like you're talking about.
Yes, yes. And when you put them on a wheat-free diet, and usually wheat-free, dairy-free, when you put them on such a diet, the results are dramatic within sometimes a couple of days, certainly within 2 to 3 weeks, if you're comprehensive enough and you got enough of the toxins out of there. It might be wheat and dairy, could be something else. That's where your clinical expertise comes in. But you see these people turn around.
Yeah.
You see them just start to turn around. And of course, as you know, for every message from the brain going down to the gut, there are 9 messages from the gut going up to the brain, that it's the microbiota of the gut, the
right.
microbiome that modulates neurotransmitter balance and function.
Yeah.
And there are 94 different bacterial strains that have been identified in the gut that digest wheat. 94.
Yeah.
And when you've got an imbalance in your microbiome, you're setting yourself up for more brain dysfunction.
Yeah.
It's so very common to see you cannot fix brain dysfunction without fixing that gut. And that's not just because of wheat or gluten, but just in general. You always have to look to the gut when you're dealing. And it doesn't matter. You know, we now know Parkinson's. I mean, the papers have been coming out since 2010, right? That it's the misfolding of alpha-synuclein in the gut that migrates up the vagus nerve, goes all the way up the spinal cord into the brain, having a magnetic pull to the substantia nigra, triggering the inflammation and the cellular destruction in the substantia nigra that eventually causes Parkinson's. But it's in the gut. And these people, for years, they've had constipation.
Right.
And years they've had GI dysfunction. So when you have a gluten sensitivity, you completely alter the microbiome. Also, another one is antibiotics.
Yes.
When you take antibiotics, you completely alter the microbiome, which increases your sensitivity to gluten, because many of the 94 bacterial strains that are associated with breaking down the proteins of wheat are reduced or eliminated on an antibiotic protocol.
Yeah, it's
so
making me think
more gluten sensitive.
Yeah, and it makes me think of even the minor things. And when I think about the question that came up of, is gluten bad for everyone? And you're saying, yes, if you're human. And I think my answer would also be, if you're coming to see me, because we have to clear the muddy waters. We have to see what's actually going on. And when we even think from a minor perspective, I know just a few weeks ago, I had concert tickets to bring my son Gilbert to a concert. He came home from school and he got right in bed, like he was exhausted. And I never see him like that. And I woke him up to go to the concert. He didn't want to go to the concert. He was really tired. I went to the concert alone. I came home and he said, I think I got glutened. And he's somebody who at 17 might lobby for, yeah, maybe I'm okay with a little gluten. I don't know. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
But maybe when I go to college, it'll be okay. And I've always been like, I'm not sure. But it's validating for him to have that experience where he's like, I was really tired. That felt really bad. I don't want to be like that. And that's what we see with most people. Even when we go back to that mind, spirit, emotions component, people are fatigued. They're dragging. They're not living in their utmost expression. And if we keep gluten in the picture, we can't figure out why. It could be the culprit alone.
Well, where are the sentries standing guard in case you're exposed to something that activate your immune system? It's the dendritic cells just in the proximal part of the small intestine. So anything that gets out of the stomach that is a threat will trigger an inflammatory response. That's why you have to digest this stuff before it gets out of the stomach.
So what do you say to the people who think like, well, I can eat gluten and just take enzymes as opposed to, I got glutened and I'll take an enzyme to help me. How do you talk to those people?
Yeah, it's really easy. I say, you know what? Professionally, I disagree completely with that line of thinking, but I understand why you're thinking that way. I mean, I would think that way if I were you also. But here's the bottom line. Body language never lies. Mm-hmm. It never lies. So what we're going to do is we're going to do your blood tests now, the Weed Zoomer, to see if you have any messages from your immune system that you got a problem. Then you're going to go squeaky clean for 3 to 6 months, no cheating whatsoever. And then we'll have that blood test come back and it should be normal or really close to normal. Then you can go back out and eat weed again the way you think a little bit's okay once in a while. And then we'll see what happens on the blood test a month after that.
Right.
And so body language never, that's how you'll know.
Right.
I mean, everybody takes a car in for tune-ups when they're still running, when the cars are running really good.
Yeah.
Nobody waits until the car breaks down, you know, when you buy a new car. Everybody follows the maintenance schedule on the car.
Right. You have your little sticker that reminds you.
That's right.
So we're talking a lot about triggers and mediators. If we go over to the story or left side of the matrix, what are the antecedents besides the genes for celiac that you've seen people carry with them that let us know, yeah, this is a person who should completely avoid from the get-go?
Copper. Mm-hmm. Copper toxicity will increase the neuropathies that are associated with wheat-related disorders. An abnormal microbiome from GMO foods, just wiping out your microbiome, reducing a lot of the beneficial bacteria. That's another one. In lifestyle, the things in lifestyle that you've done that have set you up.
Right.
Also, if you have a cross-reactivity and you get wheat out of there, but if you have a cross-reactivity with dairy or with corn, and both of those, the studies suggest about 50% of celiacs have a cross-reactivity. So if you keep eating dairy, or you keep eating corn products and you have a sensitivity to them, you'll still produce the antibodies to wheat. That's what a cross-reactivity means.
Right.
And you produce the antibodies to wheat, and then wherever the weak link in your chain is, you'll still produce the antibodies to myelin.
Mm-hmm.
That's the weak link. Or your thyroid, or wherever the weak link in your chain is.
Right.
So other foods that you're sensitive to can be antecedents.
Right. So as we look at this whole picture, and this was definitely rapid fire, and it's hard for me to say like anything else you want to tell us, because I know you could probably talk to us for days. But I'm wondering. Oops, I forgot to hit record. Let's start all over. So is there anything else that when you look at the functional nutrition matrix that like pops out at you that you would help us use in our kind of ammunition to speak to patients and clients about why this is a non-negotiable?
It's really about education, you know, and by telling people, looking to see what is it that they want and what is it, you know, what are they looking for? And what I've done in my practice for so many years, I'll just go to the literature. I'll print out a study. The next time that patient comes in, it's in their file.
Right.
And when they come in and say, oh, yeah, that's right. You really wanted to have better liver function, you know, to lower your elevated liver enzymes, or we're dealing with hepatitis for you. Look at this study that I found for you. And I'll take a yellow highlighter and I'll highlight just a couple of things so they're not overwhelmed and scared by looking at the study. You know, and you highlight just a sentence or two from it and say, you know, so here's where it says that hepatitis C is made much more active when you have a sensitivity to wheat and or viral hepatitis. And when you go wheat-free, the hepatitis goes into remission. And you just highlight that sentence for them. And then you just give them the paper to take home. So here, take this home. And, you know, it might scare you a little to read this stuff. It's pretty geeky, you know, but it's a reference for you so you understand. Or another one that I've been doing a lot lately with people, we're finding somewhere around 30% of the population has elevated antibodies to herpes simplex 1. Mm. And, you know, the cold sores that people get in the corners of their mouth and all And now I just show them a study. 146 different papers have come out now on the association of herpes simplex 1 and Alzheimer's.
Right.
And when they do biopsy of the beta amyloid plaque at autopsy of Alzheimer's patients, it's loaded with IgM antibodies to herpes simplex 1. It's loaded with it. And, you know, the patient's got a cold sore. Mrs. Patient, you've got an outbreak right now of this viral infection. We have to strengthen your immune system so that this your immune system will be strong enough to keep this virus under control. Well, how do we do that? Stop throwing gasoline on the fire with the foods that we know are a problem for you.
Yeah.
So that your immune system is not using all of its energy fighting wheat and fighting dairy.
Right.
So that you've got an immune system that can help protect you so your brain stays strong. You know, you have to talk to them at the level that they are interested in.
Right.
What they want to hear.
Yeah. Where's their compass? Where's their inspiring factor? What's actually in the risk reward arena going to get them to make change? Whereas the herpes outbreak may just be an annoyance, the fear of Alzheimer's is going to be a motivator. So how do we tap into that? Thank you so much, Dr. Tom. This is amazing to really be looking at gluten through this lens. And I think we answered the question. Is gluten bad for everyone? Absolutely. Especially if they're in our offices.
Thank you so much. Yeah. And just as a last point, I try to give reference whenever I can to the, I think one of the really early pioneers that took so many hits called a nutcase, a pediatric gastroenterologist, board certified gastroenterologist and pediatric allergist, who took so many hits back in the early to mid 90s talking about this stuff when no one else had the courage or took the time to read about it. And that was Dr. Rodney Ford. Rodney's in New Zealand and he wrote books, a number of books. And I really liked his book that came out, oh gosh, about 8 years ago, Gluten Zero.
Hmm.
Not gluten free, gluten zero. And Rodney took so many hits over the years and he still does. And he's just out there pounding the academic pavement to talk about how bad wheat is for us and how it's that silent killer that so many don't know about. So thank you for the opportunity to be here, Andre. It's really great to talk to you. And I know your tribe are really smart, wicked smart clinicians.
The 15-Minute Matrix is brought to you by me, Andrea Nakayama, and the Functional Nutrition Alliance. The 15-Minute Matrix team includes my son, Gilbert Nakayama, on sound production, Renee Hunt, Natalie Merrill, and Christine Shook. You can visit us and hear more episodes at 15minutematrix.com. And if you'd like to be notified each time there's a new podcast episode, please go to 15minutematrix.com/notify. We'll be sure to send you an email with just a short reminder that a new episode is ready and waiting for you. Please do email us. I definitely want to know who you'd like to hear on the podcast and what you'd like to see mapped on the 15-Minute Matrix. You can email us at ask@15minutematrix.com.